get up here sometimes and don't really know what to say. But I know one thing, we sure got a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
And, you know, I'm thankful for my family that the Lord's given me. Thankful for my co-workers that inspire us. Thankful for all of y'all who are back here supporting us. You know, I was thinking, I know that I always like to hear what happens in the lives of the other missionaries and stuff. And I'd like to just share a couple of things that have happened this past year. One thing, it's kind of on the discouraging side, but at the same time, well, it's good to know. And it was, there was a while, I don't remember exactly how long, but Roland and I were going through like just a dry spell. And we were both pretty much on the discouraged side. And I just got to thinking one day, it almost seems like somebody quit praying. And I commented to Roland, and he was kind of like, you know, that's probably what exactly happened. Somebody who used to pray for us just kind of forgot, you know, and quit praying. And after a while, it wasn't much longer after that, I started realizing, I myself have quit praying. You know, we got a God who answers prayer. And you know, if you quit praying for us, we're liable to quit praying for ourselves too. We are forgetful just like you are, and we really covet your prayers. We can't tell you how much we need your prayers and how much we want you to pray for us. You know, I don't know the day will ever come when I'll quit asking you to pray for me, but we need your prayers. Without the prayers of the saints, where's our help? You know, the scripture, Paul talks about helping together with your prayers, and we need your prayers. We need your help. And another thing, a little more on the encouraging side, right before I came up the last meeting, there was a guy who showed up. He looked like a real vato, you know, real. He was wearing his bandana. He had his torn up jeans and everything. He had his backpack, and he showed up. I had met him before, but I didn't recognize him because before I'd seen him, he looked like a regular student. And he happens to be one of the students of one of the sisters in the church there who's a teacher. And she gave the testimony that one day he came up to her and told her, I'm going to have to drop out of class. And she asked, well, why? And he told her, I'm going to study to be a priest. So she got to explain to him, why would you want to do that? I mean, he says, to help the people. So she got to give him the gospel. You know, how are you going to help these people if you don't even know where you're going yourself? And she gave him the gospel, and after a while, he got saved. But he hadn't gone to church. And that day, he showed up. I had met him before and had a chance to witness to him also. And when I saw him there, he looked funny because he was kind of hanging around there at the park, you know. And then he came around and sat closer, and then all of a sudden he came up to me and asked me if the teacher was going to come. And being that the sister has two names, and she's called by the students one name and by us another, who is he talking about, you know? Since we meet right next to a school in a park, I was thinking, you waiting for a teacher to come over here at the school? No, no, man, the teacher, you know? And then it clicked in my mind, oh, the sister, yeah. And I got to tell him, I'm sorry, I didn't even recognize you. But shortly after, well, the sister and her husband showed up, but it was a blessing to see him there at the church. You know, it's great when somebody calls on the Lord and then keeps looking to seek after the Lord and keeps following after Christ. Just the other day, about 2 weeks ago, we had baptisms, and it was a blessing to see the different men who got baptized that day. Some of them, I remember one of them, he's the father of the same teacher. He was trying to help us find a place for the baptisms, and I asked him, do you want to be baptized? And he said, if there's water, what's to keep me from being baptized? And it was a blessing because he had been skeptical when we first met him. He had always been standoffish, and one day Roland and I went to visit him. He started coming out to meetings after that. And later on, he gave the testimony that he'd been in all these different groups, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. He'd even tried to get into the Hare Krishnas or something like that, I think. I don't know what. But all these weird groups, he tried looking for the truth. And he said he always found fault with all them. Somewhere they were wrong. Somewhere something wasn't going with the scriptures. He used to read the scriptures himself. And he said that he looked for faults with what we said, but he couldn't find any because we kept going with what the scripture said. And he started meeting with us. He believed on the Lord. And just a couple weeks ago, he himself was with the group of the guys that got baptized. And it's a blessing what the Lord's been doing.
Amen.
It's marvelous in our eyes. Brethren, I want to share some thoughts with you. I got a whole lot on my mind, but see if I can bring it all out shortly without making a long deal out of this. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, start with verse 1. It's talking about Jesus here. He says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Have you ever thought of what exactly happened here? Have you ever considered this leper? You know, it's obvious that he had a desire to be clean. But you see, today, there's a lot of confusion. How can you be clean? Some people, you know, this is a real good picture of what happened to us when we came to Christ. You know, we were, as this man, unclean. We're like him, a leper physically, but we spiritually lepers. Something that was abominable before God. Something disgusting, basically. But yet, when we came to Jesus, what did he do? He cleaned us. He cleansed us. Cleansed us of our sin, just like he cleansed this man of his leprosy. But I'd like to see a couple things here about this man. First of all, Christ comes down from the mountain, and there's great multitudes following him. This man wasn't distracted by the multitudes. He went for Christ. He didn't go tagging along with the rest of the group. First of all, the rest of the group didn't want him, being that he was a leper. But he went to Christ. And what did he say to him? What did he do? He worshipped him, first of all. And then what did he say? Lord, if thou wilt. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Have you ever considered what exactly is the Lord's will for you? You know, if you haven't come to Christ and you're not saved yet, and you don't know where you're going when you die, well, it's obvious you need to get that straightened out first. You need to get clean, cleansed, become a child of God. And once you're a child of God, what exactly does he want for you in your life? This man came with the right attitude. If you will. If it's your will, Lord. He came worshiping Christ. He came calling him what he is, Lord. If you want, Lord, you can do this. It was obvious he wanted to be clean. It was obvious what he wanted. But what was what Christ wanted? What does Christ want with you? Now, sometimes it's obvious what we want. And sometimes it's not. But what exactly do you want, and what does Christ want? Because you see, when you come down to it, this man says, if you will, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what did Christ say? I will.
Amen.
Christ was willing to make him clean.
Amen.
Now, is Christ willing to give you the desires of your heart? Is he willing to give you what you want? If he's not, well, maybe something's wrong with what you want. You know, I was considering some verses that have been a blessing to me in times past. Psalms 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. Verse 3 better said, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What is our delight today? What is our delight? What do we delight ourselves in? Do we delight ourselves in the Lord? Is he really our delight where, hey man, let's just delight ourselves in the Lord and think on him and praise him and talk about him? Or is it like sometimes I get to where all I'm talking about is my carpentry, the cabinet I'm building or the couch or whatever furniture I'm building. And that's the only thing on my mind, and that's the only thing that's delighting me at the time, going and doing it and making it and seeing it when I'm done. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Brethren, he said something clear here. He shall do it. Verse 1 of Psalms 1. Something I was sharing with Roland the other day. Says here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. I want blessings in my life. And right here, it gives us some real good advice. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in his Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And what does it say about him? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Have you ever thought about that? You know, when you're doing something and all of a sudden it all messes up, have you ever considered this man, whatever he does, prospers?
Amen.
I sure have. I've had so many things flip on me and mess up on me, and here I'm working on it, all of a sudden it just slides right off the table and it's on the ground and everywhere. Oh, this man, whatever he does, prospers. Why? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law does he meditate day and night. Too often I find myself meditating on things I'm planning on making or doing. Why not meditate on the Word of God?
Amen.
You know, in that time of dryness that Roland and I have been going through, I got to considering some things and seeing some things in my own life. Seeing that my delight hadn't been in the law of the Lord. My delight hadn't been in the Lord. And I hadn't been meditating in His law day and night. And things I was doing weren't prospering. And I wasn't blessed as this man. And I saw that the Lord talks about certain things. And too often, you know, we just find ourselves forgetting. We forget to pray. We forget to seek after the Lord. We forget to put God first in our lives. And I was seeing that I needed to be reminded again. And even in these last few days, I'm seeing that I need to be re-reminded. I am so forgetful. The Lord shows me. And 3 weeks later, what was that I was thinking the other day? I already forgot. I got to reconsider it all. Brethren, we got a great God. The leper we read about, he went to our great God. He went to Jesus. He wasn't distracted by the crowd. He knew who had the power to do the cleansing. He knew who was the one he needed to talk to.
Amen.
And he went to him. Brethren, I want to share a little bit about this God of ours. In Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 1 says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Verse 12. And they said, there is no hope. You know, there was once I tried to do pottery like that, grab a wheel and pitch a clump of clay on there and do a work, and I made all kinds of junk that nothing really looked good. But one day I was on that wheel and I actually made something that, wow, this came out good. And as I turned, I bumped it. I went to get the string to cut it off of there, and I just barely tapped it with my knuckle. And that was it. I ain't got on the wheel since. But you see, this potter, our God, verse 4, the vessel that he made of clay was marred with the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. You know, I've had a lot of failures in my life, a lot of mess-ups, a lot of backslidings and all kinds of things in my life, but the potter didn't quit on me. The potter didn't get the clay and pitch me. No. We got a God that has the strength and the power to make us again. If we fail, He can pick us up, put us back on that wheel, dead center, form us into what He wants to form us into, and do what He wants to do with us. Brethren, verse 6, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Right here He's talking to Israel. I'm going to give you a little bit of history. This book of Jeremiah was written. Jeremiah himself, when God called him as a prophet, it was in the the reign of a good king, Josiah. And he was the last of the good kings. After Josiah came a bad king who did evil before the Lord, and another one, and it was bad kings. There wasn't another good king. Jeremiah, he saw some revival. He saw when Josiah was king and the blessings God poured about upon Judah when Josiah was king. And when Josiah died, it says in the book of Chronicles that Jeremiah lamented. Why? The loss of a good king. Well, it had been years that Judah had been going astray from God. And here, at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a king to pluck up and to pull down and destroy it? Jeremiah had been preaching because of their sin. The Lord's going to destroy. The king of Babylon's coming to destroy, to take and carry you off. But what does it say? Verse 8, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Just that simple. You haven't been walking right with the Lord? Turn back to Him.
Amen.
And He'll repent of the evil that He's already pronounced against you because of your sin. He'll repent. You can become the blessed man of Psalm 1. You can receive those blessings turning back. And say you think, like I was thinking at one time, I'm blessed. I got all this and I'm doing right. Got a little lifted up with pride, which is sin in itself. What does he say here in verse 9? And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a king to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. You know, it's easy for us to get lifted up in pride. We start thinking, man, I'm really living for God now and I'm really doing this and that. And it seems like I's getting pretty big. I's really doing something when I'm not doing nothing. It's my God who's done everything through me. And it's Him who's done any good that I've done through me. Well, He can just take that benefit right away. Forget it. You will no longer prosper in everything you do. Why? Because you've done evil in His sight. Just that simple. But what does He say in verse 11? To Jeremiah, now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you. You know, the Lord really showed me some things that I'd never considered. And I realized I'd done evil before. My heart had deceived me into thinking I was doing super and I was doing good. And no, I wasn't. He says here in the last part, return ye now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. But what did they say? There's no hope. There's no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. You know, in chapter 17, verse 9, says the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who shall know it? Their heart deceived into thinking there was no hope. Has that happened to you before? Happened to me. It's happened to me in times past where I start thinking, man, what is the hope? Why should I continue? Why not just hang it all up and be on my way? There's hope, brethren.
Amen.
We may have failed. We may have done a lot of things we shouldn't have. And we may think, just like what happened to Israel, man, they got carried off into Babylon. Too often I look at the Old Testament and I see just my own life. From slavery in Egypt, Christ saved me out of sin. Walked through a wilderness. Sometimes I remember my life where I've walked as if in the land of Canaan. And just as those Jews did back then, I find myself falling in the same traps of sin and so forth. And I think, in the book of Chronicles, you find all these bad kings. And the Lord came to the point where He said, you're going to reap what you sowed. Your children are going to reap it. That's how bad it's going to be. And I think there's no hope. All the things I've done. But yet, there is hope. Why? Because we're not the ones in charge. The potter's the one in charge. He's the one forming the clay, how He wants it formed, to do what He wants it to do. And brethren, He is where our hope is.
Amen.
Back in Matthew, that leper, he went to the one with the power to clean him. And brethren, that's who we need to go to. You know, the Christ Himself said in chapter 6, verse 33, the verse that has been a real encouragement to me lately, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. This world seeking everything but God, everything but His kingdom and His righteousness. What are we to seek? Him. What should be our delight? Him. What should we meditate on? His law. His word. Brethren, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He'll put you where He wants you to be. He'll show you what His will is for you. Just as that leper came, "If Thou wilt, Lord, Thou canst." And the Lord said, "I will." Brethren, seek Him first. Maybe you're slightly confused as to what the Lord would have you to do or where the Lord have you to go. Seek Him first. He'll show you. He'll lead you where He wants you to go. And just as that leper came to Christ, you can always take it to the Lord. "Lord, if You will, You can make me a missionary in another country. Lord, if You will, You can make me faithful here where I'm at to support the ones that have gone. Lord, if You will," do you have the Lord's will in your life? Is He saying, "I will," when you call on Him? One last verse, Jeremiah chapter 33. I read it just this afternoon, and it was a blessing to me. I hope it's a blessing to you. 33 verse 1, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying," consider where he's at. He's in the court of the prison. "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is His name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Brethren, call unto Him.
Amen.